We are doing Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. We're going to get all the way to the end of the parak today, but we're going to get close. We are holding at the fourth line of Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph already. So the Gemara raises the question. They asked from Rav Chista the following: A person ate a whole meal and then he realizes that he hasn't said a bracha. Should he say a bracha now? At the end of breakfast, someone says, "Oh, you ready to bench?" And he says, "Bench? I didn't even wash. I didn't even say a bracha at the beginning of this meal." So do you say a bracha rishona now? So Amar Lahu said back to him, "Let me ask you something. If a person ate garlic and verecho nodef, his breath stinks. Wait, you think it's a great idea for him to eat more garlic to fix the problem? No, if you do something that's bad, don't do something worse to compound the problem. You ate without a bracha. Bad. So now what are you going to do? Say bracha levatala? Worse. Don't do that. So it makes no sense to say the bracha afterwards. If you eat garlic, the string strips. Amar Ravina, Hilkach, afilu gamar sudaso, Yachzor v'yivarech. Ravina says, "No, I think you should therefore say a bracha after you finish your meal. Why? Titanya, because we have a brisa. And this brisa is my proof that if you finish your meal and realize you didn't say a bracha, you can still say a bracha. Because the brisa talks about the following. Taval, a person went to the mikvah. Va'allah, and he came out from the mikvah. It always describes coming out of the mikvah as going up. Why does it describe it as going up? Because that's the way gravity works, right? Water is low. So you go up out of the mikvah. Amar ba'aliyaso, you should say on your way out, Baruch Asher Kiddushan Mitzosa B'tzivanu Ala Tzvila. That you should say the bracha after the Tzvila. So don't you see that brachas work even afterwards? Says the Gemara, bad comparison. You can't learn anything from there. Velohi. You can't compare going to the mikvah and saying the bracha afterwards with eating a meal and saying the bracha afterwards. Why can't you compare the two? Oh, so I would have said exactly that. I would have said, you can't compare a birchas ha-mitzvah to a birchas ha-nenin. But apparently the Gemara doesn't have a problem with that. Birchas ha-mitzvah, birchas ha-nenin, yeah, it's all the same. There's a Rambam, when the Rambam talks about saying brachos over las yasan, he says, kishem, just like you say a bracha before you eat food, so too you say a bracha before doing a mitzvah. So the Achronim points out, kishem, just like, makes it sound like that in some way, birchas ha-mitzvah and birchas ha-nenin are the same as far as this rule is concerned, as far as reciting a bracha beforehand. So that's not the Gemara's problem with the comparison. You know what the problem with the comparison is? Velohi. You can't compare the two. Hasamei kara gavra lo chazi. When it comes to going to the mikvah, before going to the mikvah, the guy couldn't say a bracha. You're not allowed to say a bracha before you go to the mikvah. Over here, when it comes to eating the meal, before he ate the meal, he was perfectly allowed to recite a bracha before a meal. You heard it here first. You have a heter, you're allowed to say a bracha before you eat. If he chose not to say a bracha, so that's it. So that's, he lost the opportunity. Asks Tosfos and Rashi, very obvious question. Is that a rule? Someone whose tummy is not allowed to say a bracha? It's not true. So says Tosos, Ubekuntra spirit to Balikari and Asunim B'divrei Torah. Rashi says, well, a Balkari is not allowed to learn Torah, so maybe that includes an Isra of a bracha as well. But then Tosos says, I don't think that's the issue. V'yeshlomer demairi b'tvilas gerin. Now we must be talking about tvila of a ger. And he couldn't say the bracha before the tvila. Why couldn't he say the bracha before the tvila? He wasn't a Jew, right? He was a guy. So he can't say the bracha before. That's what we're saying. He couldn't say it before, so he says it afterwards. Let me ask you, if you were to take a poll of people going into the mikvah, how many of those tvilos, what percentage of the tvilos in any given normal community mikvah are tvilas gerim? Way less than 1%. A very, very tiny percentage of the tvilos are actual tvilas gerim. And everybody else is allowed to say bracha before, so we call that gavra lo chazi, because by the tefillas ger, says tells us, yes, if there's a single circumstance where a person cannot say a bracha beforehand, we say in all circumstances, don't say the bracha beforehand. And Tosfos says, you may think this is weird, but you do this every day. You rely on the same svara every day. Because you wash netilas yadayim when you have hamotzi. And when do you recite the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim? It's a Birchas HaMitzvah. By a Birchas HaMitzvah, when do you recite a Birchas HaMitzvah? Right before doing the mitzvah. When do you say the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim?
After
you wash. Why is it after you wash? Oh, because sometimes if a person just comes out of the bathroom, he's not allowed to say the bracha till he washes his hands. For those cases where he's not allowed to say the bracha, we just say, you know what, through and through, every case, every Netilas Yadayim, just say the bracha afterwards. We still try to satisfy over Las Yassin by Netilas Yadayim a little bit. We try to do a little bit after the bracha. What do we do a little bit after the bracha? We dry our hands, and that's considered to be the Gemar Netila. So we try to satisfy a little bit. Rav Shechter actually says the bracha before he washes, not like Tosfos says the minhag. He says the bracha before he washes because it's over Las Yassin. Mitzvah supposed to be done over Las Yassin. All right. He has some unusual practices. Okay. So point number one: if you didn't recite a bracha, you can still, I'm sorry, if you didn't recite a bracha before a meal, machlokas, whether you can still recite it after the meal. Machlokas. Good. Says the Gemara further. Tan Rabbanan. Ispargus. What's ispargus? Nope. Says Rashi. Someone always says that. It's not asparagus. What's asparagus? Says Rashi. It's some type of drink that they used to have every morning on an empty stomach, and it was very therapeutic. It would make them feel good. I guess sort of the way we treat coffee nowadays. That, you know, so asparagus is yafal alev, it's good for the heart. V'tov le'inayim, it's good for the eyes. V'kolshken the b'nei me'ayim, and it's awesome for the intestines. And if you get in the habit of drinking asparagus every day, good for your whole body. If a person gets drunk from it, then it's not good. It was an alcoholic beverage. Can you imagine waking up in the morning, first thing in the morning? You know what we call people who drink an alcoholic beverage first thing in the morning? That's what we call an alcoholic. So someone who drinks this every morning, gets in the habit, gets drunk from it, it's kasha l'chol gufo. It's bad for his whole body. Now, midiktani yafalalev, from the fact that it says that it's good for the heart, mechal de bechamra askina, that makes it sound like we're talking about wine. It's a wine-based alcoholic beverage, because wine is good for the heart. I think that's actually scientifically proven, in moderation, important to add. Vikatani, and it says, vikolshke le b'nei me'ayim, all the more so it's good for the intestines. Aye, but we have another brisa that tells us that wine is not good for the intestines. Valtanya, the brisa tells us, for the body parts that start with the letters lamid, ayin, tes, yafa, wine is very good. But for the body parts that start with the letters resh, mem, tuf, kasha, it's bad. You know what mem stands for in the resh, mem, tuf? Me'ayin, the intestines. So apparently it's bad for the intestines. How can you say it's good for the intestines? What are the body parts that start with lamid, ayin, tes? Lev, good. Ayin, good. And tchol, the spleen. And what is resh, mem, tav? Rosh, me'ayim, and tachtonios. Okay. So anyway, so says Gemara, kitanya hi b'miyushan. No, it's different if it's aged wine. When we say that it's good for the intestines, that's if it's aged wine. Because it's not. I'll prove to you that there's a difference between aged wine and non-aged wine. Because we have a Mishnah that says as follows. Konim yayin sha'ani toim. If a person says, I am taking a konim, what does konim mean? Good, a neder. It's a lashon of a neder. I am taking a neder that I will not drink wine. Why would someone take such a neder? So he explains. Shayayim kashal b'nei me'ayim. It kills my intestines every time when I drink wine. It's bad for you. So I want to avoid drinking wine. Neder. Amru lo, they say to him, you know, v'alom yushin yafal l'b'nei me'ayim. There are wines that are actually good for the b'nei me'ayim. Specifically aged wine, vishasak, and the guy doesn't respond. He just says, silently hears that. Halacha is, the neder is binding, but only on new wine, not aged wine. Asur b'chadash, umutur b'miyushan. Shema v'nai, you see from there, from that Mishnah, that there is in fact a difference between aged wine and non-aged wine, and that's main point number two. Old wine is good for the heart and the intestines. New wine is bad for the intestines. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a brisa. Shisha dvarim nemru bispargus. Six things you should know about this magical drink called dispargus. Number one, ein shos nosa el kshu chayim malim. You should only drink it when it is undiluted and you're drinking from a full cup. Number two, mekabla. Well, okay, drink it in one shot. Mekabla biyamin v'shaseo b'smol. You should receive it in your right hand, but drink it with your left hand. Number three, ve'ein ma'sichan akra v'ein mafsichan bo. Don't speak right after you drink it, and also don't pause in the middle of drinking it. Gulp it down in one shot, like medicine. Number four, ve'ein machzirin osel mishanasnu lo. If you have to give it back to someone, only give it back to the person who gave it to you. Number five, ve'rok acharav. Spit right after you drink it. Number six, ve'ein samchan osel v'mina. You should only eat right afterwards something that is from the same min, that is a very similar type of food to the asparagus drink.
So it's similar to wine,
grape. I would imagine something like that, right. Ask the Gemara of Tanya in some close to the past, but didn't the Brisa say you should have bread after the asparagus? Lo kasha, habitachamra, habitashikra. It depends if it's a wine-based asparagus or a beer-based asparagus. Tani chada, we have another Brisa. Meaning, if it's a wine-based asparagus, you would have bread after. Tani Chada, we have one brisa that says, "Lilaat yafa l'ramat kasha." It's good for the parts of the body that start with lamid, ayin, and tes. It's bad for the parts of the body that start with the letters resh, mem, and taf. V'tani yidach. But another brisa says the exact opposite: "L'ramat yafa l'laat kasha." So, which is it? Says Gemara again: "Lo kasha, habit d'chamra." It all depends if it is a wine-based beverage or a beer-based beverage. Tanichada, rock achrav loka. One brisa says, if you spit after drinking asparagus, you're going to get sick. V'tani idach, the other brisa says, lo rock achrav loka. If you fail to spit after drinking the asparagus, you're going to get sick. So which is it? Can you guess what the answer is going to be? Lokasha, ha b'dechamra. Habidashikra, a difference between a wine based asparagus and a beer based asparagus.
Okay, so if it's a wine based, which one is it?
So Rashi says over here, what does Rashi say? Bidichamra, not to spit. If it's wine based, don't spit. But if it's beer based, then you need to spit. Don't know, you need to spit out the saliva that comes from it. I'm not sure why. Amravashi, I don't know why any of this is true. Amravashi, Hashida Amrit Lorakach Rav Loka. Now that we say that if you don't spit after drinking it, you're gonna get sick. Meimav Nizrak and Afil B'fnei HaMelech. You should spit it even if you're standing in front of a king, and it's generally not considered to be polite to spit in front of a king. It doesn't matter. It's a matter of your health, so you need to do it.
So somehow you managed to get a party with the king and drinking beer with the king.
Not just drinking beer with the king, you're drinking your therapeutic asparagus drink, which is supposed to be drunk on an empty stomach first thing when you wake up in the morning. But you find the king in your bedroom when you drink it, so then you should spit it out anyway. Right. So, main point number three. What? Asparagus made from wine has different effects than asparagus made from beer. Now the Gemara is going to record some advice that holy Tanaim received from angels when they spoke to angels, because they did things like that. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said, "Shlosha devarim sachli suriel sarapnim." There are three things that suriel sarapnim told me. Who is suriel? Rashi says a very chashva malach who serves in front of Hashem. Okay, so he had a conversation with Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Pretty impressive. So what did he tell him? Number one, he told him, "Al titol chalukcha shachris miyad hashamash v'tlavish." Do not take your shirt in the morning directly from the hand of your butler when you get dressed to put on your shirt. I never do that. I avoid it all the time. Yeah, I'm extra machmir. I didn't even hire a butler. Number two, "Va'al titol yadecha mimi shelo natal yada." Don't wash your hands by having your butler pour water over your hands if he hasn't washed his hands yet. No one who hasn't washed their hands should be washing your hands. Number three, "Al taksir kos asparagus el mishnasanlach." Don't give back your asparagus drink to anybody other than the one who gave it to you. Mipreisha tichaspis, because it's a group of shadim, of demons. Vamila istalgonis shal malachei chavala, and some say another type of a group of destructive angels. Mitzapim lo adam, they sit there and wait for a person. Va'omrim, they say emes hayav adam l'deyach midvar malalu v'yilakid. When is someone going to finally do one of these things? Grab his shirt from his butler, or give back his asparagus to someone other than the guy who gave it to him, or do one of these things that we can ensnare the person in our evil traps. So they're waiting for you. So don't do these things. That's what the malach said. So Rabbi Shmuel Levi says, yeah, you think that's cool? I also spoke to a malach, and my malach is more powerful than yours. Shlosh dvarim sachli malach amaves. I had three things that the malach amaves told me. And he would know about what's dangerous. Altito chalucha shachs miyav sham shlavesh. You're right on the first one. Don't take your shirt from the butler. Number two, Valtito Yadach Mishnatal Yadav. You write on the second one also. Don't allow someone who hasn't washed their own hands to wash your hands. And number three is a new one. Vialtamo Dulfnea Nashim Bishah Shachozos Minames. Don't stand in front of the women when they come back from the cemetery. Malachamav says, here's why. I am dancing and accompanying them on their way back from the cemetery. Vicharvi biyadi, and I still have my sword in my hand. In a jolly mood with my sword in my hand, and God gives me permission to do as I please at that time. So you may not want to be there. And if you happen to see a group of women coming back from the cemetery, what can you do about that? So lynch of mitukle abramos. First of all, move. Get 4 amos away. If there's a river there, go over the river. If there's another path you can go on, go on that. If there's a wall there, jump over it. And if there's nowhere to go, you're trapped on this road with these women coming back from the cemetery, and the Malach HaMavs is dancing, and he's got his sword, and he's all giddy about the opportunities facing him. You should turn your face away, and you should recite the following pasuk. Vayomer Hashem el ha-satan, yigar Hashem b'cha ha-satan, that in ad dechalfi minei, and say that pasuk until the whole group passes by you. So main point number four bits of advice from angels. Four different bits of advice from angels. Don't take your shirt from the butler. Don't wash your hands from someone who didn't wash their own hands. Don't return your asparagus to anyone other than the guy who gave it to you. And don't walk in front of women who are coming home from the cemetery. Now we're going to talk more about a kos shel bracha. If you're going to have a special kos for birchas hamazon or kos shel bracha, it has to have certain qualities. Or maybe in a brisa we learned the following. Asara dvarim namru b'kol shel bracha. There are 10 things that we know about a kol shel bracha. Ton adacha, it needs to be rinsed. Ushtifa, and it needs to be rinsed. The Gemara is going to explain what the difference is between rinsing and rinsing. Adacha and shtifa. Chai, what does chai mean? The wine needs to be undiluted. Good. Umale, the coast needs to be full. Itur, it needs to be crowned. In what way is it crowned? We'll have to discuss that. V'ituf, you need to be wrapped. Not lo b'shteyadav, you should lift the kos with 2 hands. V'nosno b'yamin, you should place it in your right hand. U'magbio min akarka tefach, you should lift the kos off the ground by 1 tefach. V'nosin einav bo, while you're saying the bracha, look at the kos. Some say you should even give it as a gift afterwards to your wife. Rabbi Yochanan says those are 10 nice things, but we only have a tradition for 4 of them. Hadacha, shtifa, chai, umale. The 4 that we have a tradition for is rinsing, undiluted, and full. So Tana, what's the difference between rinsing and rinsing? Hadacha mi bifnim, ushtifa mi bachutz. Hadacha is the rinsing you do on the inside. Shtifa is the rinsing the outside of the kos. Tosfos says that was only because their kosos weren't so nice. But if you have a very nice kos, then you don't need to rinse it. Rabbi Yochanan, kol mevarich al kos malei, someone who says a bracha on a full coast, Nosla Nachla B'li Mitzarin, he gets an inheritance that has no borders. Shnemar Umalei Birchas Hashem Yam V'Dorom Yerasha. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Omer Zoch V'Nochel Shnei Olamim, that a person who makes a bracha on a full coast is going to inherit two worlds. What two worlds? Olam Hazeh V'Olam Haba. Good, then we said a kosher bracha requires itur. What did itur mean? To crown the kosher bracha. How does one crown a kos? So Rav Yehuda Ma'atreyu b'talmidim. Rav Yehuda used to have talmidim around him when he would say the bracha, and that's the way he would crown it. Rav Chista Ma'atale b'natli. Rav Chista would crown it by having smaller kosos around the big one. We do that sometimes. You know, people have like the, by Kiddush, they have those, the little ones, right? I'm Rabbi Chanan. The Grad changes this over here. The Grad takes out the words I'm Rabbi Chanan Ubechai, and he just goes I'm Rav Sheshes. I'm sorry, Ubechai I'm Rav Sheshes of Birch Saaretz. We said that your kosher should be undiluted, but that's only up until the Birchas Haaretz. Then you got to dilute it before you drink it, obviously. Ituf, what about wrapping yourself? Rav Papa Ma'atav Yosef, Rav Papa would wrap himself in a jacket or a talus or something, and then sit down. Rav Asi Parasudra Al Reshe, Rav Asi would wear his turban on his head when he benched. So this is a source for people who wear a hat for benching. Why would you wear a hat for benching? Because Parasudra Al Reshe, for kosher bracha. Note lo b'shtei yadav. You take it with two hands. Amar Rav Chinen bar Papa Maikra. What's the pasuk? Su'u yadeichem kodesh v'baruch es Hashem. Lift up your hands and bless Hashem. V'nosel liyamin. You then put them in the right hand. You put the kosher bracha in your right hand. Amar Rav Chinen bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Rishonim sha'alu. The previous generations raised the question. Small ma'ushet se'el liyamin. Can you use your left hand to help your right hand hold the kosher? Says Tosas, why would you need to do that? How big is your kos? So Tosas says, either you have a very big kos, you have a giant kos. No, he doesn't say tiny hands like Donald Trump. No, he doesn't say it like that. He says, or what? Or he says, it's Rosh Chodesh Teves. That's Shabbos. That's why you would need your left hand to help your right hand. Oh, Rosh Chodesh Teves at Shabbos is Chanukah. Shabbos, Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh. You say Al Anisim and Ritzei and Yalviyavo. You're holding the thing forever. So he says. So then you're going to need your left hand. That's what Tulsa suggests. That's what in my house we call Mrs. Cooperman's benching. There was a book written by a rabbi from Atlanta, Georgia, Rabbi Emanuel Feldman. Said that I told you about this. Yeah. So that was Mrs. Cooperman's Shabbos, that she would just read everything in the bench. So that's this Tosfos. Amar Rav Ashi. So anyway, so they wanted to know, can you use your left hand? Amar Rav Ashi, hol of Rishonim Ibayilu v'lo ifshatuhu. Since the earlier generations raised this question, they didn't have an answer. Ana nevad l'chumra. We're going to be more machmir and not use our left hand to help out. Umagviyum in a karka tevach. We said lift it off the ground by one tevach. Amar Rav Yachav Rav Chanina, my crow, what's the pasuk? Kos Yeshua Sesa uvishem Hashem Ekra. I will lift up the kos and call out the shame of Hashem. V'nosinein of Bo, why do you have to look at it? Kiyechi d'lanesach taitimine, so that you not be distracted, that you focus properly. U'mishagralin shebeis matana, why do you give it to your wife as a gift? Kiyechi d'tisparich tibitu, so that she too should be blessed. Apparently it's a blessing to partake of a kosher bracha. So last main point, 10 special halachos of a kos shel bracha. We're not going to list them, but 10 special halachos of a kos shel bracha. Okay.